Good morning. God has blessed you. Right? Instead of God bless you, God has blessed you. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and the second chapter. We're also going to look somewhat at the verses that this passage talks about in the book of Psalms and the book of Isaiah. But if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 13. And we are going to call this message the Holy Road. The Holy Road. Let God speak to you from His inerrant, infallible, inexhaustible Word. For it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why He's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Father, we belong to a kingdom that You say cannot be shaken. Help us to remember that even when the ground underneath us is shaking. As You would have us be, Lord Jesus, so let us be. This we pray in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're calling this message the Holy Road. You might say, is that the right road? You might think about God's will or am I saved or not saved? But let me just ask you a simple question. Are you on the right road? You say, well, it depends on what you mean by that. Yeah, I agree. The answer to the way I'm thinking about it here is given by another question. Are you on the road to the cross? That's the right road. But here's the thing. What does that mean? Because people say that all the time. Take it to the cross, brother. Okay, there's one sitting over there. Cast my cares on it. Do I write out my bills and throw them on the cross? Right? Do I yell at it? What's going on? Cast your cares on Him. What does that mean? Take it to the cross. What does that mean? That's what we want to investigate. And that's what this text will show you. What's going on with that? Some people say, okay, you know, you take it to the cross and all that, and you know, you got to die to yourself, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Okay, okay, good. But sometimes you speak Christianese, you know, and people are like, okay, I'm kind of new to this. What are you talking about? And even people that have been in it a while can think they know something, and was it Inigo Montoya that says, I don't think that word means what you think it means. Boy, there I go. I'll add in a 70s song later, and then we'll be ready to go. But that's the thing. People talk about it all the time. And then they say, you know, it's the road to your cross and all these things, take it to the cross. But then they spend all of their lives trying to avoid it. And some people do it in the name of prayer, in the name of faith. And so people talk about the prayer of faith, and you've read, you know, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and you've seen things like that, and people think, you know, the prayer of faith, I need this money, I'll pray, and I pray in faith. Oh, you better believe. Oh, you didn't believe enough, and you know, that kind of thing. No, I don't want to knock the prayer of faith, but the prayer of faith is not some demand that you place on God, right? It's putting yourself in God's hands. The prayer of faith is not some feeling that your request will be granted. Ooh, ooh, I know it's going to work, so I have faith, I have faith. Get away from me, get away from me. Yes, I mock that. I mock that because it deserves to be mocked. Yes. Answer the fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. If you're really willing to learn, I hope you stay with me today. It won't be angry, it'll be wonderful. But the thing is the prayer of faith is not incumbent upon your faith in how you think things are going to happen. It's about what you think about God no matter what happens. Amen. Right? The authentic prayer of faith is one that models Jesus' prayer. It's always spirit spoken in a spirit of subordination. God is God, and in your prayer is supposed to be humble and in a submission to His will. Now, when Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me, if you will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your be done." That is the prayer of faith. That's the supreme prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a prayer of trust. Okay? You trust that God knows what is best. Doesn't mean you don't turn over the stones, try to scrape claw and get out of situations, get the surgery done, right? Have to go through hard times? Yes, okay. But it includes a willingness to do what the Father wants you to do, or to go through what Christ would have you go through. And Christ embodies that kind of trust in Gethsemane. That was the holy road for Jesus. We're going to get into the text. Anybody still with me? I hope you're saying, well, where's the text connect with that? That's where we're going. See, the prayer of faith is not simply asking God to take you off the road. It's knowing that God will make you more like Jesus on the road. And it's not, well, once I learn that lesson, then he takes me off the road. You've still got the wrong idea. How do I know these things? Look at the text now. It says, "For it was fitting that he," that's God, "for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation," who's that? Jesus, right? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the founder, right? He's the captain, your King James Version will say. The captain of our salvation. Perfect means mature. Now, Jesus was already perfect, but he hadn't experienced the full human life. That he would make him perfect through everything going exactly the way he wanted. Perfect through never having any hard times. Perfect through having exactly the right phrases and words to say, and then that formula got him out of all trouble. Perfect through giving everything this, that, way, the other way, and then everybody would just, yay. No. What does it say? Perfect through, oh, that nasty word. Suffering. Suffering. The founder of our salvation was made mature. He was set apart already, just like we are set apart. We're sanctified by the Spirit of the Lord God, and yet then we become more and more sanctified. We're put there in position, and then it becomes more of our condition. It's progressive. Does that make sense to you? So, what I'm saying is the holy road is the same road Jesus took to the cross. Jesus had to tread the path of the cross on his way to glory. And so Christ tells you to do what? Take up your cross and follow him. See, suffering is the road to sanctification. It is the highway to holiness. Now, I'm not saying get all excited about suffering. No. Let's not be, sadomasochist here. You shouldn't embrace suffering as some sort of virtue. Oh, here comes suffering. I love you, suffering. No. Jesus said, if this cup could pass, let it. And that's Jesus. Right? He said, Paul said, take the thorn away from me. But eventually he embraced it. Instead of trying to think, well, it's the devil. And it was the devil in his case. I'm just going to rebuke it. I'm just going to ignore it. Oh, you just don't have enough faith. Really? That's a faith crusher. Again, you shouldn't seek suffering like it's some sort of virtue. Suffering's not something to seek. It's something to embrace. It's something to embrace. Something to accept and say, God, I'm going to walk there with you. I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to follow you, even though it feels like death. And I have faith that you are going to bring me through this, even if it's my death. And you're going to make me more like you. You see, the founder of our salvation is an event that Christ did, but our sanctification, our identifying with that, is a road that we walk on, just like he did, and that's what this text says, and that's what I'm going to show you. Do you want to see it? Amen. Now look what it says. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. For Jesus and God's children all have one source. Do you see that there? That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. How do you know your brother? You live in the same house. Right? How do you have brothers? You fellowship and do the same thing. How do I know that Ian and Aaron are my grandchildren? They're both at church here with me. Right? How do I know that you like being here? Because you've been with me for 15 years here. Yeah, right? He's not ashamed to call them brothers, the ones that also take the same road. I'm not trying to give you some imperative. You better do it or you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying. Wait till you see this and you'll be excited about this because you're going to make it. You're going to make it. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying Jesus knew that he was going to make it. He's not ashamed of you falling down, not being enough, and all that. He did it for you, but then you walked that in faith. That's the holy road. Anybody, someone. I'll get louder here in a minute. Yeah. I've got my Irish suspenders on. You better watch out. Again, those who are being sanctified and those that's the one that sanctifies are, it's all the same source. Those who are being sanctified, the same source for the same road. I'm going to continue to explain this. Don't worry. But let me say it this way. You see where it says in verse 12, all this stuff, and it's quoting from Psalm 22. And then in verse 13, it's quoting from Isaiah 8, 17 and 18. And it says in verse 13, I will put my trust in him. To trust in Jesus, how do we sing it? To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But let me say this. Maybe you've never heard this. Maybe it has never come into your mind. But let it come into your mind and renew you now. To trust in Jesus means to trust like Jesus. This text clearly says it, and I'll show it to you. To trust in Jesus means to trust like Jesus. In other words, trust the way Jesus trusted his Father, we're supposed to trust in the same way. He was going to a place he didn't want to go, even though he knew he had to go there. We know we've got to go to our cross. We know we have to deny ourselves. We know we have to follow him. We know he's going to fellowship with us. We know he's going to make it like us. But that doesn't mean we don't have to deny ourselves, because we do. He did not count quality a thing to be grasped, but made himself in the form of a servant, right? Being obedient to the point of death, even the cross. Jesus, though, has walked this path for you so that you can walk it in faith, even if it seems like you don't want to do it. It's something that seems only like a cross. I am talking about the fact that you go through things and you say, all you want to do is get out. I'm not saying you don't try to get out in certain ways, but you've got to let something happen while you're in. You've got to follow Jesus in and say, Jesus, if this is the way you're going, I'm not going to try to take some shortcut and then come back and say, well, no. You're just playing games with Jesus. I'm going to walk there. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to fellowship with him, because we're going to see that, right? And I'm going to become more like him in this. Don't waste your suffering. Don't just complain and moan and think no one else has to go through this. I shouldn't have to go through this. What did I do wrong to deserve this? You became a child of God. And so you walk to the cross. That's the holy road. That's how you become more like him. Not when you get all this money, then you'll serve the Lord. Well, yeah, sure. It's like everybody says, if I won the lottery, I'd give money to the church, I'd do this, and good for you, and yay, amen, whatever. But you're still going to win a lot of money before you do it, right? I'm not mad at giving. Don't worry about that. But I'm talking about that's what we do with our lives, isn't it? Think, once I get this settled, once I go out of God's will and get someone that's not in God's will and think I can do this, then everything will be cool and then I'll serve God. Sure. Now, God is merciful and he gives second, third, and fourth chances. Amen. And he can get redemption out of your own rebellion. Amen. He's doing it all the time. No doubt about that. But what I'm talking about is when you are serious with God and you say, I want to be done with that thing. I want to be different. You've got to take it to the cross. What does that mean? That's what we're talking about. It means trusting the Father just like Jesus did. Trusting Jesus. Realize that he's walked this path for you. Somebody get excited. Stop that. Don't fall asleep. I'm going to come over there. He's walked the path for you, and he's walking the path with you. Now, the Old Testament reference right there in Hebrews 2:12, it says, saying, see it in quotes there? Your Bible, I have it in italics there, saying it's an Old Testament quote. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Now, we read that this morning before we came on air, right? Psalm 22, verse 2, 22. And Jesus quoted Psalm 22:1 on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus was identifying with the entire psalm, as we see some of right here. And what people don't realize about Psalm 22 is that in verse 1 through 18, that's the first part of the psalm, and it's a picture of despair. But there's a second part of the psalm from verse 19 following, and that's the deliverance part of the psalm. It's Jesus' proclamation of victory. Jesus knew he was going to make it through this, and he knows you're going to make it through this. And he made it through for you, and laid out a path for you that you would have faith even through the valley of the shadow of death. Look at it again. I will tell of your name, this is Jesus, right, to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. The assembly is where we gather for worship. You know what's going on here? I mean, we're doing spiritual warfare, but we're worshiping, and we're gathering around Christ as his brothers and sisters, and we're lifting up our voice to him as the, and he's being the choir master. And we want to hear his voice in his word and to share his trust in his Father. So you got bad things happening right now. Things aren't really that great. You don't really feel a whole lot like singing. So you give the sacrifice of praise. You're on that road and everybody else seems to be happy, clapping. Everybody's so happy and all that. But you don't even know what I'm going through. And he's saying, I've been there. I'm walking that with you. I am the children God has given me. You'll make it since he made it. That's the promise he's giving you. But we want to just get out of this. You're going to miss what he has for you in suffering. If we could see incredible things when we're suffering, we've got something other people don't have. Because all they're doing is trying to do plastic surgery when they're 90 years old to look 50. I'm not mad. Go, oh boy, letters, here they come. But you know what I'm saying? We try so hard to be our own hero, to hold on to our own things, to have our own money, mine, and we're denying God by doing that. I'm not saying don't get the education. I'm not saying don't have goals. I'm saying don't waste your suffering. Stay on the holy road. Know Jesus in it. People say, well, how do you make it through this? I don't understand how you do it. I keep my eyes on the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. And he went through that and says, do you have faith? Follow me. And where did he go? He went to the cross. That doesn't mean you're going to physically be up there. It means spiritually. You die the death to your own dreams of being your own hero. Why do you think everybody's excited about these hero movies? Because they want to overcome. I wanted to make one about short people. And I want to star, and I have a couple friends that have been in movies, and you know, and we're gonna star in that thing, man. Because we want to see ourselves. I know what it's like to be bullied. I know what it's like to be thought of less, because I'm thought of less even here. And that's just the way that it is. Because people see that, or they see Paul can't use his legs. So immediately they think limitations first. And so we want to burst forth of that. But don't fall for the trap. Don't fall for the humanistic trap. Don't fall for the... See, it's God's mercy. He knew how big my head would be. He knew what you needed. He knows what we need. And I don't mean someone that doesn't have it, they knew better all... No. Everybody has their road to the cross. It's different for everybody. But it's the same holy road. But we want to jump off it. Do everything we can. No, we're doing great. No, I'm not doing so great. It's okay. Pour out your pain. Have you read the book of Lamentations? Do you know Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet? Have you read more than half of the Psalms? Do you understand these things? He said, the captain of their salvation is made perfect through sufferings. Why would it be different for us? Jesus didn't even sin and he had to have that. Why would it be different for us? No, it's not to say, yay, suffering. It's like to say, yay, God. He's going to do something here and prove who he is when the rest of the world will say, down, dark, no, and his light shines through that. How great is that light? Yes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine because I get all A's and I'm tall and I'm beautiful and I'm this. And if you are, yay for you. But something will break you down. And then will you then say, I've lost. What if I lost my memory and my voice? My physical memory and my physical voice. Would I praise God then? You know, into the end of September of 2016, I said, we have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, and 1 month later, I had a heart attack. I don't want to make this about me, but the truth is God is making it about you and Him. And what will you do? Anybody who's still with me? We got to get going here. Now, the second references are from Isaiah 8:17 and Isaiah 8:18. He said, again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Now, if you know the context of Isaiah, we talked a little bit last time in A Voice of the Darkness from Isaiah 50. And we talked about this servant from Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, and 53. You see how Israel was not serving God. But Isaiah says, I will. And like Joshua, me and my family will serve the Lord. Right? As for me and mine. Right? And so in chapter 8, he's saying, me and my sons, he had two sons, we're going to serve the Lord. But then you see it becomes Israel is going to be the servant in chapter 42. But by chapter 49, Israel couldn't do it. So it became a new person, the suffering servant. Isaiah couldn't do it. The nation of Israel couldn't do it. But a future king would do it. And that became Jesus. But here, in Hebrews 2:13, Jesus is identifying back with Isaiah as that servant that would fulfill all that Israel couldn't do. And He would fulfill all that we can't do and walk that road for us so then we can walk it in faith, not perfectly, but purposefully. And so we fall down and the devil goes, ha! Bite the dust. And then you say, look at the cross. I get it. That's what faith is. Faith is not, I'm undefeated. Faith is, I can't be kept down. Not like I'm a hero, but that He is. That He is. And He says, and again, I will put my trust in Him. This is Jesus on the road in Gethsemane, on the way to the cross, saying, I don't want to face this cup. Not some guys beating me up and putting me on a cross and all that. Forgive me, that's nothing. That's nothing. It's the wrath of God. Isaiah 53:10 says it pleased God to crush Him. Your sins, your iniquities placed on Christ, and then God treated Jesus as if He lived your life so that He could treat you as if you lived His life. That's that gospel. That's why the cross is such a big deal. That's why it's offensive to people. People say, I don't deserve it. I'm better than you, or you're better than me. You know, are you as good as Jesus? And here's Jesus on the road. Here He is in Gethsemane saying, I will put my trust in Him. But look what else He says. He quotes Isaiah 8:18. Again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Is anybody a child of God, a brother, a sister of the Lord Jesus this morning? Do you hear me? Again, the second reference is there. From Isaiah 8:17, Isaiah 8:18, so it says, I will trust in the Lord, which means that when we trust in Jesus, it means to trust like Jesus did in His Heavenly Father. Even though there's something He doesn't want to do, namely the cross. Because if you read before and after our passage here, you'll see that's what He's talking about. Again, Isaiah 8:18 says, me and those children that He has given me. Isaiah and his two sons, but Hebrews uses Jesus and the children of God. So He knows you're going through this path. He laid it out for you. And He is with you. And you don't have to fear the cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus will prove Himself to you during this trying time. He's in control, so you don't have to worry about having it all together. You see, Jesus did it perfectly. You won't do it perfectly. That's the point of faith. You're winning even if it feels like you're losing. You're winning even if people call you a loser. They say, what are you doing this for now? Oh, you're just going to go back. It ain't real. Come on. You tried this before. And they're thinking, loser. But this is a test. You're going to win because you're trusting in the Lord, just like Jesus trusted His Heavenly Father. You're more than adequate in the Lord Jesus. And that's what He's proving to you now. That you're falling down, you're messing, you're slobbering all over yourself, and people are looking at you and laughing. But you're not worried about that. You know He's got you. Just like He trusted in His Heavenly Father when they all mocked Him and spit on Him and said, "If you're the Son of God, come down." He said He would rebuild this temple in 3 days. Come on. One of the thieves on the cross said the same thing, but the other said, you don't know what you're talking about. Does anybody know Jesus knows what He's talking about? He's proving it to you now in that cross trial. He is your significance. He is your sufficiency. He is your security in the midst of the most trying circumstances. He has made you more than a man, more than a woman. He's made you God's man or God's woman. You're walking on the same path with Him, and He calls you brother and sister. Think about that. He's not leaving you alone. That is exactly what the devil says. He's left you alone in the dark. You say, "I can't see Him." Back in Isaiah it says, when He hid His face from Jacob. But the one said, "I will trust Him. I and the children He has given me." Jesus is the light. He's walking the light to the cross. The being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is walking to the cross. That's what it means. It means, are you suffering the death of yourself? Is God molding you? Are you fellowshipping with Him no matter which way you're going? And He has that light. He's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And that is His way to the cross, I'm telling you. Times like this is when Jesus is more real to you than just some words on a page. It's the power in your heart and strength in your soul. And I pray that you feel it, not as some physical or even emotional sensation, but a deep and real and true confidence in your heart, mind, and soul. He goes, "I will trust Him. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." It looks like your husband's not coming back. Looks like you're not going to get that job. You're going to lose it. Looks like you're not going to overcome that physical pain, but you'll have to live with it for the rest of your life. I'm not saying you're always going to be beaten, burdened, barren, broke, but I'm saying if you're on that, do you abandon God then, or do you lean in and say, "God, You've laid out the path of me. I will trust You because I'm one of those children that God has given you. And I'm going to walk that way, and I'm going to fellowship with You. I know You've completed it, and even if I fall down and all that, You'll lift me back up as I look to You, and You will make me more like You." We think, become more like Jesus, and you won't have any problems. Really? How about John the Baptist? 6-month ministry, get your head cut off, doubt what's going on. How about the Apostle Paul? "Everyone has deserted me. Everybody's always asking, you're not really an apostle." "Really? I just raised your brother from the dead." You know? Other people can't understand this until they're right there in it. This message may be for you in the future. But I know you can hear what I'm saying, because I'm telling you with great fear and trembling that what I'm saying right now is what God is saying to you right now. To trust in Jesus means to trust like Jesus. You trust in Jesus the way Jesus trusted in His Father. And walking by or with the Spirit means walking to the cross. The road to your cross is a holy road. To follow Jesus, to fellowship with Jesus, and to be made more like Jesus. Let me say that again. The road to your cross is a holy road. To follow Jesus, to fellowship with Jesus, and to be made more like Jesus. And Jesus is with you, and you will make it. And again, I and the children who God has given me. He knew that it wasn't just Him. It's for the joy set before Him. What was that joy? To bring you home. Yes. God is calling you to stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop relying on your own version and your own view of of the ways you think God will or should lead your life. He's working to overcome your self-sufficiency and your self-effort. To truly walk with Jesus means that He determines the direction, the pace, the purpose. To walk with Jesus means He's in the lead and you follow Him. It's your call to follow His lead. Stop taking detours, please. And stop walking by your own light. Yes, it's difficult at times. Yes, you don't want to do it. Deny yourself. It hurts. Take up your cross. And you're not in control. Follow me. But Jesus says the only way to follow Him. He says the only way. Because He's only going one way. He's going to the cross. You see, the problem occurs, and I'm almost done. When you're unwilling to see suffering as a means of holiness rather than an adversary to conquer. Oh, I do it too. And that's when I fall for the seed faith and the, you know, you sow and reap and all this and miscalculate and misproportion and misdirection, all those scriptures, because I'm looking for something other than that road, baby. I'm thinking, I'll take a high road over here. I'll take a shortcut over there. And then we fall into the same traps and the same sins over and over and over again. And this is why. Because we didn't actually take them to the cross. And I'm learning that I have to do that. And I'm not getting out of it any other way. But I get a lot of it in the way. I can follow Him for real. I can fellowship with Him intimately. And I can be made more like Him than I've ever been, whether anybody else recognizes it or not. Can you hear me? You see, people fear that embracing suffering is giving in to the devil. Right? Oh, I don't accept those words. Oh, come on. You can tell me I'm dying. I'm not. Your words have no power over me. Paul said, I regard no man after the flesh. He wasn't worried about race. He wasn't worried about gender. He wasn't worried about this, that, and the other thing. He was concerned with Jesus. That was his, oh boy, here come the letters. That was his social justice. Jesus didn't come to liberate you from your social situation. He came to liberate you from your sinful situation. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, look, some people are privileged, some people are not, and I believe in those things. I understand. I understand. What I'm saying is Jesus is more important than that, and get on board with Him and walk that way. Can you hear me? Again, people fear embracing suffering is giving in to the devil. They live with the idea that faith and obedience are a means to eliminate any obstacles or pain. That church isn't doing that. I mean, this church, we're not going to do that. Not as long as I'm here. Kick me out, but hey, I'm telling you. We're not right about everything. I don't know what we're wrong about except a few things that I've been made aware of. But this ain't one of them, baby. Unless you just put your head in the sand, you just ignore reality, which many people do in the name of faith, you're going to be broken by how many pains, problems, injustice, and suffering God allows in this life. You know what I'm saying? I am too. I limit my Facebook. I limit my social media. I got to read my table talk and read Tim Challies and listen to Albert Moeller every day. Keep me straight. Get in my Bible. You know what I'm saying? A little Desiring God. You know, I'm mentioning some things right now. Little Gospel Coalition, you know, some stuff, man. You need some positive, pump you up. You want to put off, you got to put on. And we get up in the morning, it's like, rah, rah, rah. I mean, if you have kids, hey, look, that's the end right there. Yeah, that's your big excuse, by the way. Yeah, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. I got kids. I accept it. I mean, I get it. You know? It's just me, my wife, and the grandkids now, and even they're the most lovely in the world, and they've got the greatest mom in the world, and I'm still like, oh, sweet pea, you're wearing me out, girl. Come pinching on me today, and I'm wearing green. Because she misunderstood what I said. It's like, oh. The point is we can joke about it. We can try to ignore it. We can do things. And by God's grace, have your vacations. By God's grace, you know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy God's good graces. And do these things. Amen. But you can't avoid all the trouble in the world. But you shouldn't get buried by it. It's not wrong to be broken. Jesus was broken. This is my body, which has been broken for you. You feel like the whip's on your back, it was on his first. A lot of pain, a lot of problems, a lot of injustice, a lot of suffering God allows in this life, not just for you, but to others. And as you get older and mature, that's when it really hurts. Because you'd rather it happen to you than someone you love. Monsieur is going to go round and round and give more money and do this, that, and exhaust yourself with law thinking it's grace and faith thinking that, you know, you're buying faith and you're, oh boy. You need to accept and embrace the concept of 2 Corinthians 4:17. These afflictions you see and feel are working for you a weight of glory beyond all comparison. You are banking in heaven. You are putting your treasures up there. When instead of grumbling, you're gracious. When instead of grumbly hateful, you're humbly grateful. Right? When you are praising the Lord, I will praise you in the midst of the congregation. I will put my trust in you. I and the children God has given me. That's you, is it? Anybody? Is that you? It's me. And my microphone. These sufferings, and Paul calls them in 2 Corinthians 4:17, these light momentary afflictions. You might want to read chapter 11, see what these light momentary afflictions are. They were not light and momentary. They took his whole life. In comparison, he goes, it's working in us. It's working in you. Is the suffering going to be wasted in you and you're just going to become bitter? Or is it going to be working in you and you become better? These afflictions you feel are working for you a weight of glory beyond all comparison. Yeah, I hurt. Yeah, my body is racked. Yes, my mind. And Paul says that again in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. He's like, don't I even feel the weight of all these churches and all these people? Just like you feel for your children when they abandon the Lord, they run away. Even if you're not a Christian, you're listening to this, and they do things, and you know that, oh, you don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. You know the end result. You know the misery and the heartbreak. I feel that way for you. I don't always do a good job with it. I usually just get angry at you, and I know that's wrong. The anger of man does not work. The power of God. But here now, let me tell you, Jesus is for you, and I am for Jesus, so I'm for you. I'm on your side, and I love you. And I thank God for this church and the people of this church and the people we come in contact with and the letters from around the world and things like that. Things I don't tell people about and not trying to say anything now, except the fact is God's people are moving forward. God is getting himself a people, and he won't be stopped. And Jesus made it to the cross, and he wasn't stopped, no matter what the devil tried, and neither will you. I will put my trust in the Lord. I and the children God has given me. That's not just some remote promise in Isaiah about him and his sons. That is Jesus Christ saying that to you. Rather than just spending all your time not accepting suffering, I'm not saying don't find a way out of your pain. I mean, when my wife got her neck cut open and got the two discs replaced and all that, yes, she took some oxycodone. Yeah. I've been clean for 20 years and I didn't have a desire for that stuff at all. Didn't used to be that way. But I've been washed. I've been changed. Such were some of you. But God changes people. How does he do it? He brings them to the cross again and again and again. Do you want to do it? No, you don't want to do it. That's to deny yourself. Does it hurt? Yeah. Repentance. If it doesn't hurt, it doesn't heal. You're going to feel like you're on a roller coaster. I just don't understand. You don't have to understand. You can look at the cross and know he does. You follow him. You have fellowship with him. You have faith in him. And he makes you more like him. That's the game, folks. And it's rigged. The sooner you get in on the wink, wink, nod, nod, the better off you'll be. Yeah, man. Whatever it takes for you to get to make you to help you be faithful, you know, get your mind going. Renew your mind means you have the propositions in the scripture and all that, but he speaks to you in a certain way. You know, you have a certain song and it makes you feel wow, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But I'm more wow about your wow. you know? And then I'm up here singing all the old songs and going crazy, and you're like, I don't even know who Bach is. You know, well, good for you, but good for me, good for Jesus. We're together. I will sing his praise in the midst of the congregation. Anybody want to sing his praises? Amen. Amen. All right, it's 12:00, so let me finish. Again, rather than spending all your time just not accepting suffering, realize that God is working and you can be worshiping. Yes, this is exactly the opposite of the way the world thinks. Renew your mind. Again, don't adopt a victim mindset. Don't think that you should seek suffering as if that's some sort of virtue. I'm not suffering very much. Don't worry, it'll find you. Because you get more torn up about people who die and you know they don't love the Lord. So much so that you're willing for people just to throw stuff at you and yell at you, and you're just going to go out there and tell them. That's why that's happening to you. Because that's God doing that to you. Big, strong man, all that, yeah, you know, going to be major in a couple months or whatever happens, you know, and the warden of the prison. But God is molding you through stuff that, well, yeah, stuff. Oh, I'm just not going to accept it. I'm just going to have faith out of it, really. How's that working for you? Yeah. Suffering's not something to seek. Suffering is something to embrace. Because what you're doing is you're embracing the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know Romans 8, 28 and 29, right? All things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. If you read verse 29, you see what that purpose is, to make you more like Jesus. And then when you read verses 17 and 18, he goes into that same thing, suffering, and it's nothing compared to what's going to be revealed. Everything is working together for good to make you more like Jesus, and suffering is a part of that working. I'm not saying, oh, yay, let's go outside and suffer today. No, I'm going to Golden Corral. I'll do a little advertising. I'd go to Chick-fil-A if it was old on Sunday, and I'm glad they're not. God bless them. Yes. Amen. Amen. Suffering's part of that. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. You're just going to get bitter and let it happen, you know, or, you know, you're going to learn something. You know, the safest place on earth, yet the scariest place on earth, is the same place. It's the road to the cross. But the path to cross and death is where your true life is found. You need to die. God wants you to reign, not before you die. It's the cross before the crown, always. Always. It's a death to your own heroic inner narrative, where you save yourself and your own quest for significance, sufficiency, and security. You see, if you're a Christian, you're not designed or destined to be the hero of your own life. The greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. That's blasphemy. A hero lies in you. Blasphemy. Discover the champion in you. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Discover who Jesus is, who wants to live with you and live in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And where's the Holy Spirit going? Guess where? He's got a one-way ticket. Guess where it's going? It's going to the cross to make you more like him, to fellowship with him in the worst of situations. If you can have that sweet fellowship in dark days, how sweet is that? Let them do whatever. They can't take Jesus from me. The Bible isn't about a great you. The Bible is about a great God. The spiritual life isn't about proving yourself, but proving Christ. Prove these scriptures. I will place my trust in him. I and the children. He's talking to you. He says, prove me. Get on that road. See if I'm not there with you. And you'll know I'm there with you when the devil says I'm not, because he's a liar and the father of it. All he can do is tell you the untruth so you know what the truth is. Pretty cool. Yeah. Proving Christ. Not so you can be your best you or have your best life now, but so that you can glorify God by remaining joyful, prayerful, thankful, and faithful in whatever situation you find yourself. That's the holy road. Keep your eyes on the prize. the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus Christ, that we would also be like Jesus and tell of your name to our brothers in the midst of the congregation. We sing your praise. We will put our trust in you. And we are those children of whom you spoke. I and the children God has given me. Thank you. We know nothing can pluck us out of your hand. Even if we're trying to squirm away, that same hand that holds others out holds us in. And for that, your unfailable, unfallible, unassailable faithfulness and character. We worship you, O God Almighty. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.